It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, and hope you had a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen, and welcome in to another edition post-Memorial Day and the day of OTA's number one, numero uno, two, Kabali and Mac. Follow us on X, on Instagram, on Facebook, even on TikTok, where Kaboom does dances. They just never get posted. And of course, on YouTube, where we're up over 1,500 subscribers now. Thank you to the 100 or so that joined in the last few days. And to Jason, congratulations to him. He won the autographed Pat Freiermuth helmet. Now all he has to do is get in touch with us, and we'll get it to him. And we've got another giveaway planned. We'll get to that in just 1 second. He's veteran Steelers reporter Mark Kabali, who's got to run down a south side today to cover those OTAs and drop his kids' lunch off at school on the way there. And he's already bitching about the traffic and the construction on 51. But here we are anyway, Kaboom. How's your Memorial Day weekend? How'd it go?
I'm just trying to think what I did. Nothing. I did nothing yesterday. Did
nothing at all?
Did some, what do you call that, mulching, which I do.
You love that, don't you?
You know, I like it better when they drop it off. I end up buying just bags. My hands turn like black and my fingernails are like dirty. And don't even tell me about gloves. I'm not a gloves guy.
No gloves. So now your hand, what color mulch do you go with?
Black, I guess.
So now your hands are all stained.
I was able to get it off. It's called a shower.
Oh, I didn't realize you guys had one of those in that fancy new house over there.
How about that? Party's over across the street, so we're good to go.
Okay. Yeah, they were having a big weeks-long party across the street from you. You'd send me photos and updates and videos.
More like people in and out. Days.
No Memorial Day party for you? Nothing?
I think we went down to the in-laws.
Okay. Nice.
Dropped the kids off. That was good because the kids didn't have school. What, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Right. So nice long weekend.
Dumped them off at the in-laws on Thursday night. So Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. And they came back Saturday night, went back over Sunday because the cousins were there, and it was mostly a kid-free fest.
Look at you two, living the life of suburban parents. Thanks to the Dan Heck team, Heck Team Homes, H-A-E-C-K. HeckTeamHomes.com is where you go. The key to your next door, you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, they're the key to getting it done for you. And it is a busy time of year for them. So get in touch with them now. Go to heckteamhomes.com. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, and Tia all waiting to help you find the home of your dreams, whether you're getting in your first one, transitioning from a smaller home, bigger family into a larger home, or you're looking to get out of that big house and maybe downsize. Whatever the scenario may be, they're there to help you at heckteamhomes.com. We appreciate their support of Kabali and Mac. So real quick, let's get the business out of the way before we get into OTAs.
Tell me what you did. Did you open the pool?
The pool's been open because our son's a maniac and doesn't mind swimming in 70-degree water. So the pool's been open. Got it open for
Thanks
him
for
yesterday.
The invite. Thanks.
So he could swim a little bit. I still have yet to be in the pool other than when I dropped the steps into it a month ago when the water was like 55. So when we have a big old pool party, you'll get a call, okay? You bring the kids over, we'll do it up, right? Best thing I had this weekend was I finally tried some of those surf sides. I had tasted one before, you know, when my wife had one, but I hadn't actually had a whole surf side before. Had a few yesterday.
I see a segue coming. Go ahead.
Very good. I really liked them. Not as good as Roberto Clemente, but very good.
Not as good as Kevin Gorman?
No, not as good as Kevin Gorman. Gorman will be with us on Thursday. And speaking of Pirates-related issues, you haven't kept up with the schedule, have you? I tried to keep you up to date because you're like, dude, I got to be here.
You texted me 106 times. And it's like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it was real hard to follow when I sent you a text that had each day and time listed and you didn't respond for 3 days. That was real easy for you to follow.
I'm a busy man.
But we have got, once we get to 2,500 subscribers on YouTube, Kaboom, this is big. This is real big. Our good friends at First and Goal Sports First and Goal Collectibles in Southwest Philly have come up for us, for you, the wonderful listeners of Bali and Mac, with an autographed Paul Skeens baseball, my friends. Woo!
Skeeners.
Yes. And this one, timely, because you want to get it before the Pirates inevitably trade him for prospects. I kid. But do I? So thanks to First and Goal for hooking us up with that. When we get to 2,500 subscribers on YouTube, we will get that given away. So we got a little ways to go, but I figure the way people have been jumping on board here, and we appreciate every single one of you. Have I mentioned that before? That the way people have been jumping on board lately, 2,500 shouldn't be a problem by, right around the All-Star break, when I'm sure Skeens will be going to the All-Star game. So perfect timing.
Yeah. Skeeners, get it while it's hot, baby. You got to tell your friends, tell your family members, subscribe, and get that old Skeens ball.
What's Pat always say? Be a friend, tell a friend. The Cabali and Mac podcast.
Well, I don't have any friends. By the way, you messaged me yesterday at 11:20.
Okay.
I'm just trying to think what I was doing yesterday at 11:20. Probably mulching. There you go.
Probably. You're a busy, busy guy. So, I should know better than to interrupt you to talk about the show that we're doing.
I actually did not see that.
Good work by you, my man.
Well, here it is. Here's.
Get caught up on your text
one,
now.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Because you don't answer.
You had 6 text messages, and my response was, yup.
Yup. Yup.
And I even spelt that wrong. I put YU. Then I corrected myself. Instead of hitting edit, I just put YU.
You just text again. You don't bother with the edit button on the iPhone.
Message. Outdoor at 9:45. I can't even complete a full sentence.
Thanks also to our good friends at Southwest Greens, southwestgreenspa.com. Another friend of mine met with our good friend Jake at Southwest Greens earlier this week. And if you're tired of spending time and money on your yard, right? Get it done once and for all. A beautiful artificial lawn from Southwest Greens. It'll look great. It'll feel like real grass, acts like real grass, but it doesn't grow like real grass. You don't have to water it like real grass. Great for the kids, great for the pets, great for your enjoyment of the yard without having to go out there and spend too much time, money, or effort on it. Get a hold of them. Find out what they can do for you today at southwestgreenspa.com. We thank them as well for supporting Cabali and Mac. So before we get to something somebody said over the weekend, I want to rewind to Friday afternoon. I mean, literally like an hour or two after we wrapped up Friday's show, talking to Mike Logan, who had some interesting thoughts on Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers pops up at a little Q&A session, and a little girl wants to ask him a very important question.
Aaron Rodgers ever go to the Bears?
Oh, boy. Security, can we get her out of here? I need some security.
Can you take it easy on her on this one?
No, but I believe there's a team that might play in Chicago this year.
Let's go!
What a road trip. I don't know. I'm not sure. Gotta check it out.
Are you speaking in code?
I love Chicago, though. Way more than they love me. It's been a great relationship, all one way.
Wow. And then he drops the mic with that one. So, Rodgers clearly alluding to the Steelers, right? The Steelers go there to Chicago in November. You've already booked your flight.
Yeah. Oh, the flights to Chicago are simple. One of the few simple ones out of Pittsburgh. By the way, I got my, I sent my passport back and said I did something wrong. So I'm not very happy about that.
Oh my God. What'd you do?
I got to use it to get on the planes now. I don't believe in that.
Real ID. No real ID for Kaboom.
Yeah, I didn't screw up. They screwed up. They said I didn't pay. And I'm like, okay, what's this $100 out of my bank account for then if I didn't pay? But I digress.
More evidence in your corner that Rodgers is coming to Pittsburgh eventually. We just don't know.
There's two things I take out of that. First of all, obviously, he did the very subtle tweak, here not too many people here might not know this, but hey, we'll troll a little bit here and throw this out there. And number two is, if he's so goddamn busy,
he's all over the place.
Pittsburgh and sign a goddamn contract.
So you're saying maybe he wasn't actually at a random hotel in the Strip on Friday morning?
I don't know. Your sources are better than mine.
Yeah, by the way, I texted someone who would know. I'll just put it that way. I can't really give any more detail. But I texted a direct source who would know whether Aaron Rodgers was staying at that hotel or not. And he did not, for what it's worth. Doesn't mean that he didn't wander his way into that hotel in the Strip and wander his way out, but it looks like he wasn't in Pittsburgh on Friday.
Yeah, wandering at 6 a.m., right?
Yeah.
And interesting, very, very interesting. But maybe he does have a deal in place. He says, hey, dude, I'm
sure.
Why does he have to say it? Why?
Why wouldn't the team announce it, I guess, is my point.
Because like, he'd be like, hey, yo. Hold off. If I don't show up to mini OTAs, I don't want anybody on my ass. So I'm coming up mini camp. This is a done deal. I don't think they would have signed it, because if they would have signed it, it had to go through the NFL offices and all that garbage. So maybe it's on paper. We don't know.
So it's just sitting in one of those little plastic inboxes. You know, those little ones that stack up on top of each other. It's just sitting in one of those little inboxes on Omar Khan's desk. Waiting to fax it over to the NFL office.
They probably sent it to his agent, and his agent be like, okay, we'll send this back whenever.
June.
Next week or whatever. But I mean, at this point, he's not making it very subtle. It's not very subtle where his plans are, right?
I understand your reasoning and the logic we followed for a month or two now. Hey, if you're not going to come in for OTAs, you've been hammered by the media before about not going to OTAs, i.e. last year in New York, and you don't want to deal with it. But when the hell has Aaron Rodgers ever cared what anybody thought about him, right? So just sign the damn thing, get it done. And if you only show up for the mandatory mini camp in 2 weeks, then fine. You only show up for that. You're here for 3 days, in and out of town, meet the guys, and then get back to wherever you are, taking Q&As from little girls in Chicago or wherever the heck that session was, going to 7-on-7 camps, going to golf tournaments, going to the Kentucky Derby, all that. Go do your thing all summer and just be back in St. Vincent the last week of July or whenever camp opens.
Well, there's a lot smarter people out there that are more well-informed about Aaron Rodgers' personality that probably can't even answer that question of why, right?
I guess. It's just –
Maybe he doesn't want Danica Patrick coming out and talking about how she was hurt by him. Did you read that story?
No, I didn't. Look, there's going to be a media storm or swirl that follows him around constantly. Whenever he gets to wherever he's going, and people know that he's going to be there. So why not, I guess, just do it and get it done? That's my question. Now, I do understand the logic of, if he's not going to come in until the first full week of June for the mandatory mini camp, then hey, he doesn't want to, he wants to avoid. Aaron Rodgers doesn't care what anybody thinks.
If they already sent him the playbook, maybe he's had some conversations with Arthur Smith. I mean, how far ahead would he be if he was there during phase two of offseason programming, where it's just like working out? Not everybody shows up to these things now.
Nobody's saying he should be there this morning, which wouldn't that be a big move to just quietly show up the first day of OTAs, as nobody thinks he's going to do. Nobody expects him to be there this morning or next week, next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, for that matter. It's about that third week, the final week, which is the mandatory mini camp.
Not mandatory if you don't sign.
Right. So it's driving people nuts at this point. I mean, it's been driving people nuts for 2.5 months now. I shouldn't understate that. but the fact that we're all just sitting and waiting and wondering, and that led someone to speculate about something over the weekend, or report on it, I guess. We'll get to it in a second. Got to thank our good friends as well at Nail Studio 2, who have jumped on board in the last month here on the Cabali and Mac Show. Out in Donaldson's Crossroads in the McMurray-Peters Township area, Nail Studio 2, that's a Roman numeral 2, nailstudio2.com. Under new ownership, Vinny, the full-time receptionist, she will take your calls and schedule your appointments. Uber-talented nail technicians, Lily, Summer, and Selena, the best at what they do. You know somebody this graduation season. Maybe you got a teenager who hasn't had their prom yet and they got to get their nails did. Whatever it may be. Maybe you're a dude who doesn't mind getting a pedicure. Whatever it may be. And we don't judge around here, because Cabali and I could probably both use a good pedicure. They are there waiting to help you in Zot. 724-941-4595. 724-941-4595. You can see the number on the screen, or nailstudio2.com. And if you know somebody who does nails, a really experienced, very talented nail technician, they are looking to hire another one or two over the summer as well. So reach out to them at nailstudio2.com. We appreciate them jumping on board to Cabali and Mac as well. So
beach season, got to get those.
Yeah,
toes did.
That's a good, you know what? My wife gets her toes done probably like once every couple of months and gets her nails done every time too. And right before vacation, always a big move by her. Yes. She goes and gets the nails done. Got to look good at the beach, I guess. I don't care what my feet look like at the beach. They're buried in the sand. Nobody needs to look at them. So this happened over the weekend. And the question is, basically, is there any sort of contingency plan?
And B for them at that quarterback position.
I would say Kirk Cousins. I mean, I had some conversations with people this week to led me to believe that Cousins is at the very least on the Steelers' radar if something were to fall through on Rodgers. Now, here's how they could make that happen. Cousins has $37.5 million in guarantees between this year and next year. Somebody's on the hook for that, whether it's Atlanta or someone else. So to facilitate a trade, Atlanta would need a team to offset some of that money, whether it's $4 million, $20 million, whatever it is. But the feeling around the league is that Atlanta has not been willing to budge on this. They haven't shown a lot of interest in trading Cousins. It would take a hefty price tag for another team to wiggle that out. As one source told me, if they were willing to take a small percentage, like let's say $7 or $8 million of that money, a deal would be done by now. There was interest earlier in the offseason. Right now, Pittsburgh might be the only hope for Cousins, or he's sort of stuck in Atlanta.
Oh, so we know Jeremy Fowler, good guy, works for ESPN, NFL Insider, covered the Steelers specifically for several years. Kaboom. You know, he's got some quality sources in the building. Contingency plan, plan B, as it were. Would they consider, if Rodgers bailed for some reason before putting pen to paper, would they consider making a deal for Cousins, assuming they didn't have to give up too much and or pay too much of that final year of his deal?
That's two big ones right there, right?
I know. That's why I asked the questions. I'm here to ask tough questions.
I'm never going to say never on this, because who knows what Atlanta's willing to eat of that contract, right? Until you know.
Doesn't sound like much, according to Jeremy.
Well, that's probably why he's sitting there right now. And to be honest with you, if Atlanta thinks they have an opportunity to win the NFC South, which is, you know, they're right there with probably Tampa and Tampa.
Tampa.
They're right there. What have we seen from Michael Penix other than a handful of games? I mean, he could be the next superstar. Okay. But do you would like to have him as an insurance policy, Kirk Cousins? That's probably where it's at, because I think you got, what, maybe Easton Stick behind him maybe? Is that who it is?
That's it. Easton Stick and Emory Jones is their fourth quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, if you're able to get them to eat that, some money, a hefty portion of that money, even $5 million bucks seems like something that Omar wouldn't even, nah, no thanks type of situation. Plus, you know, basically give him away too, right? Sixth-round pick, something like that.
Right.
Then, of course, I mean, you have to look into it. And that's why you hear rumors like this popping up from time to time, because you don't know what Atlanta's willing to do unless you give them a call. And once you give them a call, it's like, ah, Steelers called. Steelers called. Yeah, I want to see how much you want for him. And if it's something, how much you want for him? You want what? Okay, thanks. We'll see you. Boom. That's considered a reaching out to him, right?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it this way. Is it something they've talked about in the building? I think they probably wouldn't be doing their job if they hadn't talked about what the plan B may be if Rodgers doesn't come in eventually. And so Cousins is definitely one
Let me ask you this question while you're here.
Yeah.
I don't know where you're going, but while you're here.
Yeah.
Is Kirk Cousins better than Mason Rudolph right now in your eyes?
Not by much. Not by much. I don't think. I think he's way too turnover prone, which is something that would drive Mike Tomlin absolutely batshit crazy and would probably have him pulling the plug on Cousins after 1-3 interception game. Because we know how quick Mike is on the quarterback hook, right? I mean,
well, when you have five guys over the past 5 years that really haven't been number ones, you tend to have quick hooks.
That's fair. I don't think he's markedly better. Like I've said this before, if Rodgers is a win and a half better than Rudolph, Cousins is probably somewhere in the middle, like a half win to a win better.
What is he? How old is he? 40? 38?
Cousins, I think he's 38.
A couple of injuries coming off of.
Yeah.
I mean, at least we know Mason, what you're going to get from him, basically. You're going to get
36, by the way.
Guy.
I misspoke. He's 36.
You're going to have a 30-year-old guy that's probably quite hungry. I mean, if you're Mason Rudolph, we're assuming Rodgers doesn't come here. It's a big assumption. It's probably going to be proven wrong here very soon. But Mason Rudolph would then be the number one, would have that one chance. And something tells me that Mason Rudolph would be a lot more hungry to being having that chance to be a starting quarterback for a year rather than Kirk Cousins coming in because Atlanta doesn't want to pay you.
Well, so there's two parts to that. I'll answer the last thing you brought up first. Does Mason being more hungry, as you put it, to perform, does that necessarily give him a longer leash with Mike Tomlin? I mean, Mike T has been, as I mentioned, notoriously quick with the hook, especially on Mason.
Yeah, it depends on the options, right? If you have only other options, a rookie Will Howard and Skylar Thompson, yeah, there's no hook. I mean, it's yours, right?
So the other part of this is the Steelers do have the cap space. They don't want to take on the whole value of the contract. That would blow up whatever remaining cap space they have. But they could take on a decent chunk of it and not have to, you know, get away with trading probably, like you said, a sixth round pick for Cousins, eating a large portion of the deal. And then, you know, still having the cap space available to go out and get that veteran wide receiver that you mentioned you think could probably happen before the end of these 3 weeks of practices.
It definitely could happen. But you see, what they do is they pretty much gauge out 3 or 4 years of where they think the salary cap's going, how much money they have, how much they're willing to spend. I don't know if throwing $20 million at Kirk Cousins for a year would be on the docket of.
Yeah, it's not high on the list of things you want to do, but not having an experienced starting quarterback at the NFL level on your roster is also not something you want to do.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, you put all your eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket. And if he decides for some reason not to come here, which I don't believe he will, renege on his, I guess he didn't make a promise.
Do we know what promises he made or didn't make?
Yeah. But at that point, I think you're just say, Mason, it's yours. Unless just give you Kirk Cousins. Here, take him.
Just for nothing.
Well, almost nothing. You know?
I mean, the less you give up in some sort of draft pick compensation, the more you're going to have to pay.
What is the money on Cousins now again?
What did Jeremy just say? It's like $35 million or something.
So, I mean, you would assume they already got the $10 million earmarked for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, they've got about 34 and a half in cap space right now, according to SpotTrack. So you can't take on the full value of the year remaining on Cousins' deal. That would blow everything up and give you no wiggle room whatsoever. Even if Atlanta only took back $5 million of that, earmarked five of that, as Jeremy alluded to during that clip that we played, it still means you're paying 30 and you only got $4.5 million left over yourself, which again is not enough for any sort of other contingency plans during the season or going into training camp. Somebody gets hurt. You want to get that veteran wide receiver. Like, they've got to get to a point where Atlanta, I think, would be willing to go 50-50 on the financial portion of the final year of this deal to where they'd be okay saying, okay, we're not excited. First of all, they'd still be wiping the egg off their face. You mentioned eggs. They'd be wiping it off their face from chasing the Aaron Rodgers tail all offseason. But then they'd also have to pay Kirk Cousins $17, $18, $20 million. I don't think they'd necessarily be excited about it. But again, if you want to have a veteran starting quarterback on the roster, then that's the only way it would make. And if you're taking on, if you're asking Atlanta to retain half of the money, then you're probably giving up more than a sixth round pick, like it or not. You're probably talking a fourth or fifth rounder. Who's texting you?
It was just some game changer app.
Oh, nothing important then. How many games do you have your kid playing this week for how many teams?
Oh, yeah, three today, but obviously he can't go at 3 at 6 o'clock.
Three different games at the same time.
Things, I mean, for some reason, they decided to start summer flag football. It was supposed to be on Wednesdays, but they had to move it to a Tuesday, so that complicates things.
You're not happy about this, but you signed him up for all this stuff.
Well, you know, it is what it is. I can't remember your question. Oh, I see. As for Cousins,
like, if they had to give up more, so listen again, to retain their own flexibility under the cap to go get the veteran wide receiver that might only cost $5-8 million. I don't know. I'm ballparking here on what kind of veteran wide receiver they might go out and add to the roster between now and the start of training camp. You obviously have to have the cap space to do it. So they wouldn't be able to do that. They always like to keep a little bit in reserve, right? Say maybe $4 or $5 million.
It's more like, well, you have to pay the practice squad guys and all that crap too. And draft picks the big ones.
I think that's all baked into the number that I'm looking at right now at SpotTrack.
They like to keep, just as the season starts, when everything else is paid, about $4 to $5 million in reserve. Okay. Somebody goes on IR and whatnot.
Right. So they effectively have $30 million under the cap, we'll call it, to deal with.
Well, there is this guy they have to deal with.
Yeah. Somebody mentioned that. They think you're trying to send a message with yet another TJ. Oh, hat.
The great Tim Vickers of the Thomas Jefferson High School baseball team dropped me off a cap.
Wow.
I think he realized I was wearing the kid's cap.
How could he tell? I don't know. Looked like a beanie on top of your head.
Actually, you know, it's not a bad looking hat.
You're right. It's not. I like the white panel on the front. It looks good. Okay, that's a good point. They've got to get a TJ Watt extension done this summer as well. So they do. They need some wiggle room under the cap, and they can't afford to pay. This all comes back to the same point I was making. They can't really afford to pay Kirk Cousins more than, say, maybe if this were the plan. Again, we're speaking in nothing but hypotheticals right now. If Rodgers bailed, if they were able to wipe all of that egg off their face from the Rodgers chase long enough to decide they want to go out and add that fourth quarterback, and it should be Kirk Cousins to the roster. If you're going to do it spending the least amount of money possible, you're going to have to give up more in draft pick compensation. This boatload of draft picks that they have next year, I can't imagine they're very interested in giving up an actual draft pick of value, like third round or better. And you shouldn't have to get Kirk Cousins, honestly, at this point in his career. But if you're asking Atlanta to retain more of the salary, you're not going to get away with just giving up a sixth or seventh rounder. Again, you're talking fourth or fifth rounder.
I'll tell you, prime example was, what was that, 2 years ago when they traded for Van Jefferson. His numbers were pretty significant with what the Rams were paying him, and they got him for basically nothing because they made Omar made them. That's what Omar's very good at, making the other team pay for them to play on your team. So I don't know if he could pull off something like that.
Well, that's the other part of this. This might all just be public negotiation by both sides. The Falcons continuing to sit on Cousins because they want somebody. And again, we've talked about this before. Teams will sit and wait if they have an extra quarterback for somebody else to get hurt in camp and then make a deal. And that could still be the case with Atlanta. They're just waiting until somebody is desperate for a quarterback. And the Steelers could be in that spot if Rodgers bails on them. They're waiting for a team to be desperate at quarterback to come along and be willing to eat a ton of salary and give them a better draft pick compensation in return than they would get right now when the Steelers don't feel as desperate.
I was thinking the other day, is there anybody the Steelers could bring in that the fan base would accept over Aaron Rodgers? And it wouldn't be Kirk Cousins. I think people are like, I want that Aaron Rodgers guy. I don't want Kirk Cousins. Yeah, those were the two choices.
No, I would take Rodgers over Cousins as well, even at this point in Rodgers' career.
He's coming. He's here.
Steelers great Mark Malone, who loves the use of the word dill holes, says he's not interested in Cousins. Rudolph's a better quarterback.
True. I mean, I hear you. And like he said last week or whenever we had him last Sunday, he's never had that 17-game season to be able to prove anything. He's had 4-game seasons, 6-game seasons. So maybe it's too much for him. Maybe it's not. There's only one way to find out, but I don't think we're finding it out. I mean, we're all just
tires here.
We're just killing some time before the inevitable.
You're really sold on this.
I've been sold on this since March. I think I tweeted it in March 6th. I think Aaron Rodgers will look pretty good in the black and gold. Get the hell out of here.
You're crazy, Cabali.
I'm just saying.
So what else do we have going on at OTAs this week? I know we talked about it last week.
Offense, defensive lines are hard to tell. I mean, anything defensively. It's hard to tell. I don't think Will Howard is going to go out there and get a ton of reps where you're going to say, wow, this guy's good or this guy's bad. I think the guys that are going to shine are the guys that will shine in this setting. Calvin Austin, Roman Wilson, probably DK Metcalf because nobody's seen a human that size before, you know. You bring it like, look at this guy. He can run this fast. You know, you like to see where people are set up at the depth chart to a degree. I mean, whoever he throws out there first does mean something in certain situations. I mean, like I said, if what's his name? I can't even think of his name. He's off the top of my head now. Third quarterback.
Skylar Thompson.
Skylar Thompson, that's how.
How'd you forget Skylar Thompson?
I don't know. How do I remember him? If Skylar Thompson takes second team reps, I don't think that means he's a second team guy. It means he's been in the league longer than Will Howard. So stuff like that, I don't think you're going to see any – you're not going to see much scheme change, anything like that. That's – no. You're going to see the guys that will be able to look good. You'll see Caleb Johnson hit the hole quicker than Najee Harris and say, yeah, that's different from last year. You'll see stuff. You'll probably see some deep balls from Mason and say, yeah, you know, maybe he is better than Russell Wilson was last year or Justin Fields. Those are the little things. You're not going to really be able to determine a lot of that. That's what annoys me a lot about OTAs. You're going to definitely see so-and-so looks great. This guy's looking good. This guy's going to should get a chance. And it's like, no, they don't. They might look good in this setting, but okay, that means nothing to me.
Okay, that's fair. Then can we tell anything at all about the other side of the ball? I know you mentioned offensive and defensive line. You're not getting any trench work done at OTAs. Everybody's in shorts. But secondary play, because we had Mike Logan on Friday, and I thought it was interesting. You asked him about Minkah Fitzpatrick, and Minkah's got two turnovers forced, I think, in the last 2 years. Yeah. And people are losing their minds over it. I mean, 2023, he didn't force a single turnover, I don't think, in the entire regular season. Last year, a single forced fumble and one pick. So can we tell anything at all? Hell, will Minka even be out there for a significant number of reps during OTAs to begin with, being the veteran that he is? And then will we be able to tell anything else about the level of secondary play? Like, who's going to be the nickel? Who's, you know, what's the, I mean, you'll be get some idea of that.
Well, see, that's why I think Tomlin does what he does and just strictly says, we'll go by seniority, so to speak. I mean, so maybe you don't see Beanie Bishop out there at first.
Okay.
As your nickel guy, maybe it'll be the guy from the Jets. I can always forget his name. I mean, I'm terrible with names.
You're just swinging and missing. I'm the old guy.
You know, that guy.
Brandon Echols?
Hey, it could be okay. Brandon Echols or something like that. So he always falls back on that. But whoever he throws out there first is significant. I remember, who was it that they threw out there? Was it Shazier they threw out there right away and said, basically, live or die, man, live or die. And right. At that point, you never saw that from a Steelers defense because that was in their pretty much in their heyday right then. So I don't expect to see Caleb Johnson taking one reps unless Jalen Warren's still banged up or something, you know.
But nothing in the secondary to watch for other
than – not now. I think more mini camp, they'll do a lot more one-on-one action where it's strictly like one versus one, who can cover type of situation. Here it's just there's not a lot of intensity in OTAs. Mini camp, they ramp that up a little bit, so maybe you can see stuff from there. I want to see Darnell Washington and Darius Slay talk. That'd be interesting.
Don't you think, like, that's not seriously an issue, is it?
I don't know, man. If somebody put me in the front row, kicked him out of the club.
You'd want to have a conversation the first
time. What's he going to do? Darnell Washington, 6'7", 320.
Right. I mean,
what are you going to do?
I think that gets resolved pretty early on, if it hasn't been already.
You know what? Another one we're going to hear about. We're going to hear, boy, the Marvin Leal looks pretty good. Heard that for 3 years now.
OTA superstar Marvin Leal.
Go sell that to somebody or some random defensive tackle. They got about seven of them, right?
Yeah. Hold on. Why do they have? Hold on. I count nine. I think defensive tackles.
Logan Lee.
Hold on. We've got Harmon. Obvious. Well. See, everybody's kind of a defensive tackle on this line, right? Everybody should be able to bump inside and play outside. So there's the dude from New England they signed, Daniel Ekwale.
No, you know how to pronounce that. Wow.
I tried anyway. I don't know if I got it right.
You know.
Logan Lee, Dean Lowry. There's some guy named Zezi Otomowo. There's Dominique Davis, Blake Mangelson. YA Black. I mean, 3, 6, I'm counting Loudermilk here, 9, 12, 13 defensive linemen on this roster right now. Kaboom.
You think they're going to throw a bunch against a wall and see who sticks? Maybe
that's what it sounds like. I mean, at the very least, spending two draft picks on defensive linemen, including your first overall, like we've talked about before.
I mean, Logan Lee was a sixth rounder last year and never got on the field because he was hurt. I think he was a sixth rounder. So
yeah, sixth rounder.
He has a history with YA Black. Yaya.
No, not Yaya.
That's another one. I mean, you have no idea what he's going to look like, and you're going to go into
I know what he's going to look like. He's massive. You talk about Darnell Washington being
big. I saw him at rookie camp, and he wasn't as – put it this way. This is coming from me now, so take it for what it's worth.
Yeah.
He wasn't very sloppy looking. I thought he was going to be sloppy.
Why would he be sloppy? Because he's a massive defensive lineman?
He wasn't sloppy.
He's big and strong. He's a defensive – he's more muscle than bulk.
I'm just saying, I was assuming a monster like that would have some a little jiggle in his wiggle.
Right? Who is here's the question. Let's see if we can get you on the outs with somebody on the first day of OTA.
Yeah, like Mike Logan.
Yeah.
Or Mason or
who Jim has Taylor. The most who has the most jiggle in their wiggle on the on this roster? There's not a lot of guys.
It used to be Dan Moore, I think.
Yeah, he did.
But once again, this is coming from me. I mean, what the hell am I gonna say? You know, it's very hard to go up to a guy and say, yeah, how much you weigh now? It's like, what? What do you ask me for? But it's really difficult.
I mean, you could say it takes one to know one if you wanted to. Be like, hey, I'm just checking it out. I want to know who I'm going to go get wings with. Come on.
Dan Moore wasn't in the best of, I'd say best of shape. He just didn't. There was not much definition. What are we talking about here?
He didn't carry it that well. I think that's a nice way to put it, isn't it?
Carried it.
You can carry it that
Everybody
way.
Else seems, I mean, Broderick Jones looks like a power forward.
Back to Darnell Washington, since this conversation started talking about large humans.
He looks like Shaq.
Are they actually going to use him in the pass game this year? I've been dying to see them actually use Washington. I know he got a few more targets last year, that's only his second year in the league.
Oh, that waggle. That waggle played and worked all the time.
It's an Arthur Smith offense. Why aren't we seeing Pat Freiermuth running seam routes, catching footballs 15, 20 yards downfield?
Well, did we go over this or we didn't go over this because we didn't start this? When you have a 5'9" quarterback, he tends not to be able to see over the offensive lineman.
You have mentioned that. Russ had a tough time seeing the middle of the field, maybe. Another thing that Rodgers would have over Cousins. Cousins isn't an especially tall dude either.
Yeah. Mason's a good 6'4", 6'5"-ish, 6'4"-ish.
That's going to be – that'll be another thing you'll see during OTAs. The first time a tight end catches a ball on a seam route down the middle of the field in stride, everybody's going to lose their mind over that as well. Looks like they're going to use the middle of the field more. I hope it's true.
Well, I heard that before.
Yeah, but –
if you would guess how tall Aaron Rodgers is, what would you say?
6'3"?
It says 6'2", which
okay, 6'2", 6'3". That's what I was in that ballpark. Yeah, he's definitely not 6'4", but he's no shorter than 6'2". Yeah,
yeah. He's not the problem with Russell was he had to either throw it up over the top or he had to find those lanes. And that's why he'd always see him shuffle to right or to the left to be able to, you know, find those lanes to throw to. But that's one thing you don't have to worry about. Mason, he's 6'5", and
he'll see over everybody.
Plus, he throws.
That's the one thing that hasn't been mentioned at all yet in the national media who sit here and bag on the Steelers quarterback predicament. And granted, it's been shaky all offseason. Is not only do they not talk about Mason as a viable starting quarterback in the league, they don't mention that the dude has a cannon attached to his right arm. I mean, yeah. We saw it with Pickens multiple times when he got an opportunity to play with George, that he'll lay it out there and he'll let his guys go get it, which I would think to DK Metcalf is like, I mean, that's a blessing right there. Yeah, ball's going to be out there. Just go get it.
The problem with Mason is, and I mean, sort of, I understand it national wise. They just haven't seen him a lot. I mean, they saw him a handful of games. He's most known for getting slapped upside the head by Myles Garrett and getting knocked out and looking like the great Gazoo from Earl Thomas, right? That's what he's known for. He's known for a three game series at the end of the year. Tennessee was a disaster-ish. I mean, but
Tennessee as a whole was disaster.
I just don't think people realize they see the name, they associate it with this, this, and this, and they don't really, I don't think, put much time into really seeing some of the talent he has. I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer or he's the future of this team, but he can get you some wins.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Somebody responded on social media over the weekend. Maybe it was on YouTube. I can't remember where it was, to one of the Mason episodes or clips that we had posted, and said, if Mason doesn't, did they end up tying Detroit in overtime or losing in overtime in that one game?
You know who dropped the ball? Wasn't that Pat Freiermuth? I don't want to bring that up to him.
Don't bring it up. But if they don't lose, if they don't, again, that game ended up in a tie, didn't it?
Yeah.
If they don't tie the Lions, if they don't blow that game, do you think Mason is looked at somewhat differently? Like, their point was that that game seemed to be the inflection point. That was his last shot to hold on to the gig. And yeah, they went back to him when they needed to due to injuries, but that was his chance to sort of cement himself in that spot. I think even if they win the Detroit game, there was always going to be a short ripcord on Mason with Mike.
If you recall, I mean, I'll sit here and make every excuse there is. That weather was awful that day.
That was terrible.
Awful.
Cold, windy,
he had that
rainy.
Really bad throw into the end zone, I believe. He short off somebody. But, I mean, they gave up 200 yards rushing that game, if I recall. Some guys are not even in the league anymore. Right. What's the guy's name? He played for the Steelers as a kick returner like a year or two ago. Who was the guy that somebody punted the ball near the end zone or kicked it near the end zone, and he kept his feet in and he reached out just to get it as a touchback? That guy rushed for like 100 yards against the Steelers.
Right.
So it wasn't all his fault. But, yeah, it could have been it. I can't remember what happened after that.
But that kind of loses, too, the fact that he came in when Pickett and Trubisky were both hurt and won them three games and got them in, you know, got them into the wild card round. Yes, they got slaughtered in the blizzard delayed game up in Buffalo, but the Buffalo Bills are an elite team and were at that point. They still had a really good defense at that point. And so that gets lost. Nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about that 3-week window where Mason kept them afloat and got them into the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, those were a tough situation too, because they had no room for error. That's the word I'm looking for. No room for error at that point. And they played some good teams too. I mean,
and he didn't turn the ball over.
Going to Seattle, and even looking back to that game you were talking about, the Lions. Well,
yeah,
Swift did run. Well, DeAndre Swift ran 33 for 130, so he's pretty doggone good. He was.
Yeah, he's all right.
Igwe Buike ran for 42 yards.
Igwe Buike.
They ran for 250 yards that game. 250. And Mason threw the ball 50 times in that weather. Matt Canada.
Yeah. This is my point is, you know, again, I understand both sides of the Mason Rudolph coin. Like, not a ton of starting experience, and you want to see what he can do over the course of actually owning the job for a long time. And I agree with that. I've always wanted Mason to get a significant shot. It's why I hated that he got yanked halfway through the Cincy game after getting his cranium busted.
That wasn't the only thing. There was some accusations made that messed with his mind too.
Fair, but I still think if they don't bail on him at that point, or if they don't roll with Duck at that point after the Cincy game, remember what Duck throw? Four picks against Buffalo a few weeks later, cost him a playoff spot on a Sunday night.
Yeah, they weren't the Buffalo that the Buffalo is now, if I recall. They were good.
They weren't. Was that Allen's rookie season, maybe, or second year? Either way. Point being, if they had stuck it out with Mason, I think we would have seen more from him in a positive way. And I've always believed that he's better than people give him credit for. But that doesn't also mean, like I said, that you wouldn't like to have a veteran starting quarterback on the roster, to loop all the way back around to our plan B discussion.
Yeah, we're sitting here talking about Kirk Cousins and Mason Rudolph, and it's all a moot point, right?
Mute, as Bill Cowher would say.
Mute point.
A mute
point. You ever see that the clip of Cowher like ripping on a reporter saying, "What do you think?"
That used to be, you remember Thor Tolo?
I thought that was John Staggerwad he was ripping on.
Maybe. Thor Tolo would get all up in his ass. He was a permanent bug in Bill Cowher's ass, and Cowher hated him. And
that's what, too. Come on, John.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Come when on, something John. Would happen away from the facility, like what's his name? The dude that sideswiped 13 cars on the south side or whatever it was. You remember that guy?
Yeah, what's his name?
Defensive lineman. I can't remember his name now. But that when Shumway would show up, it would only be because something bad happened, and yeah, Tomlin didn't want to have to answer any questions about it. And Shummer would sit there, and he'd get all up in his ass too.
And now even Tomlin even said that recently. Sheldon Ingram would show up.
He goes,
oh, no. He goes, you're here. It has to be something to do more than football.
Cower hated Thor Tolo, man. He would.
You are killing me with this guy now. The defensive lineman. I want to say Tyson Alualu, but that's not it.
That's not it. I wanted to say the same thing. It's not. I got to look it up. And I can't find it now.
What year do you think?
Wait. Alameda Te'amu. There it is.
Te'amu.
Alameda
Te'amu. Dad, I believe the interesting part of that, I think his dad was a reverend or a priest or something.
What? Yeah. Man, whatever happened to that dude, I wonder.
Yeah.
Coaching high school football somewhere in French Polynesia. I do remember Coward getting absolutely annoyed at some people. And Tom,
he called Rossi into the office one time and started yelling at him. That was kind of funny.
Who did?
Coward.
He called what did Rossi do?
Rossi wrote a story about Willie Parker, I think. Was it Willie Parker, maybe?
Oh, we're going way back.
It was something to that effect of Willie Parker, and he wrote that. He quoted Myron Cope, and Cope said, well, if Coward benches Willie Parker, he needs shot or something like that. And so Tomlin called him in the office and read him a riot act. There's people out there to read this. Now my family's in jeopardy.
Wait, was this Cower or Tomlin?
This was Cower.
Okay.
Cower.
I just picture Rob sitting there.
I said, you just stood there and let him like yell at you like you're a little kid? What are you doing?
Well, what's he going to do?
I'm not going to sit here and get yelled at by you. You're not my boss.
You let the guy blow off some steam. That happened with me and Clint Hurdle once. You let the guy blow off some steam. Finish.
Wait, you made Clint Hurdle mad. Clint Hurdle is like the guy that like loves everybody.
We actually text now. He's actually a super nice guy.
Get him on the program.
He's got a job, dude. He's working for the Rockies, the worst team in baseball, trying to get them to actually hit the baseball. There was a moment where he yanked McCutchen from a game early, and Kutch wasn't too happy about it, but didn't say anything.
There's a shock.
And so, there was the post game or the pregame presser the next day. Because I did the post game show, I couldn't ask him about it post game. I asked him the next day about it, and I said, "What did Andrew have to say when you told him he was coming out?" And for whatever reason, he had had enough of that. He looked directly at me right across his desk and said, "Stop!" And like everybody froze for a second, like, "What the hell? What's going on?" Yeah. And he kind of went on a little bit of a rant and he cooled off real quick, but like he just let the guy blow off steam. What are you going to do? You ask your question, if it makes him mad, it makes him mad.
Wow. I could see in that setting, but not, hey, come to my office. I need to talk to you.
Thanks to our good friends at Impact HVAC. Give them a call. You need the AC checked up before it really starts to heat up. And it looks like the next couple weeks during the OTAs and mandatory mini camp will start to get some of that warm summer weather. You want the AC to run correctly. They'll come on out, take a look at it, make sure it's ready to go for those warm summer months. And if anything needs to be fixed, they'll repair it. Anything needs replaced, they'll take care of that. And a great locally owned business in the South Hills of Pittsburgh, Impact HVAC, PGH on Facebook, or give them a call. You see the number on the screen right there, 412-297-1852. Kaboom has got to run his kids' lunch to school.
You guys should?
What do you mean? Yeah, your kid needs to eat.
Well, maybe I could teach her a lesson. I mean, what do I have to do? I literally set up her backpack, set up her water, set up her lunch, say, hey, do you need to wear tennis shoes today? Do you have gym? Okay, I'll drive you up to the bus stop. And it's like, as we get off out of the car and if the bus is pulling up, hey, I forgot my lunch. What do you want me to do now?
You can go back to the house and get it.
What
and
else
drop
do
it
I
off
have to
school.
Do?
Dude, how old's your 10. Daughter? Was she 10?
She's 10. You need some.
Yeah, we got a 12-year-old boy who still does the same, who still needs all the same stuff taken care of for him. We don't drive him to the bus stop because it's right outside the house. But
I snap, I said, you gotta start learning have some responsibility.
Oh, the R word.
She goes, look who's talking. I was like, what?
Clap back. Oh, damn. Somebody's grounded from the iPad when they get home.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's impossible. The 8-year-old's like, when do I get a phone? I'm like,
not anytime soon, bud.
No.
Not anytime soon.
No.
So you get down, you get your kids' lunch over to school. You get down to OTAs. Watch on Twitter. Cabali, I'm sure, will have plentiful reports at Mark Cabali on everything going on. He'll overreact to great throws made by quarterbacks. I
didn't even know we're allowed to even say anything, to be honest with you.
Well, you'll have takeaways, I'm sure.
No, what you could do is you're allowed to videotape maybe for the first half hour.
Okay.
I mean,
so I want to see Caleb Johnson doing one of those crazy running back drills.
Well, yeah. Say if TJ Watt's not here, right? I will videotape all the defensive linemen going through a drill, and I'd be like, wow, somebody doesn't look like what's missing from here. But I'm not allowed to say TJ Watt's not here.
Now, are you
I'm allowed to post a video of the whole crew?
Are you still allowed to do that thing where you catch the player admitting that another player wasn't there after practice and report
the
what they said?
Now is, unless they've changed it, as of right now, we only can get the players coming off the field. They come off in masses.
And what happens is one or two people get caught by an entire swarm and everybody else disappears.
The worst case scenario is like, I'm going to go get Zach Frazier, man. I got a good story. And Zach be like, I got to go left. Then you look around, there's nobody there. Then all of a sudden you're doing a story on like Skylar Thompson.
I do.
That's why.
I do think people need to appreciate that the access gets more difficult every year and that you can't, it's OTAs. You can't just walk into the locker room and pick a guy out and talk to him. Like you said, what's that?
Mini camp you can, but not, well, last year they let us in, but I don't know. Maybe
do
they
you think Rodgers? Do you think let's go with
they'll say there's not enough room in that locker room.
I was going to say they'll put him at a podium, won't they?
Oh, if Rodgers, they would probably put him in the media room if he would come. They'll have their little backdrop off some of the big timers, if it's Hayward or whoever's talking. But I don't want to talk to Hayward. Do you want to talk to Hayward?
Ouch.
I mean, nothing against him, but I mean,
if nobody else was around, I talked to him. Yeah.
Talked to Hayward for 12 years.
That's true.
I mean,
I asked him to come on the show. He still hasn't responded. So.
Oh. He doesn't like us.
He blew us off at Big Night Out.
Oh, I said, hey, what are you taking darts at me for? What do you mean? Oh, I'm just fooling around.
I'm just messing around with you, Mark. Yeah. All right. Deliver your kids lunch. Go do some reporting. We'll look for it on Twitter, the videos of people that are there and not there. We will do this again on Thursday. Kevin Gorman will join us to talk about the Pirates. That'll be, I believe, the day after a Paul Skeens start, which, by the way, thanks again to our friends at First and Goal Collectibles at South Hills Village, firstandgoalsports.com. We have that autographed Paul Skeens baseball. Got to be one of the first 2,500 subscribers on YouTube. So be a friend, tell a friend. We'll steal that from Pat about the Cabali and Mac show and how they need to get subscribed on YouTube.
Who won it now? Joe? Joe won the helmet?
Jason Jones won the autographed Pat Freiermuth helmet. He's just got to get in touch with us now so I can ship it to him. So if anybody knows Jason Jones.
And if anybody knows where Relaxed Styles is, let us know. I tried to email him yesterday and still nothing.
Jeez.
Vanished like a fart in the wind. I don't know what's going on.
What say you, Miss Fuzzy Britches? All right.
I'm kinda worried.
Do your job. We'll talk again on Thursday. Sound good? Thanks, everybody. Have a great one. Hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend. OTAT.